This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the county result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. And you can also get reward points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You're listening to the Scarf Pagara War, part of the TalkSport Fan Network. And charity partners with Mentel. For county fans, by county fans. Hello and welcome to another edition of the Scarf Pagara War, the Stockport County podcast for fans by fans. Today I'm joined by Ed Chadwick from the Co-op, the cooperative supporters cooperative. And today we're going to talk about all things to do with the club and the recent meeting that took place around 5 weeks ago now as we record this. Talk about some of those elements of that document. Are you okay, Ed?
Yeah, hi Russ. Thanks very much for having me on.
No problem. I think if we just start, if I may, with you yourself, how long you've been supporting County, how you came to come on the co-op, and what is your role on the co-op?
Well, you've heard about these new Stockport County fans, haven't you? I'm one of them. I went to my first County game when we the first season back in the National League after promotion from the National League North. We just moved back to the area, and County had become my local team. And I remember seeing the open top bus tour on the news, and thought I must get along and watch them, because I'd lived in Stockport for 5 years in the sort of 2000s, and although I had lots of mates who supported County, I never really got along to watch. But since that first game of that season. We beat Barrow 3-2, and COVID aside, I've been to as many games as I can. In terms of the co-op, I heard our chairman Dave Marchbank on your podcast last year, talking about wanting to bring some new members onto the board, it appealed to me really, because I think that football fans need to have a strong voice. There's lots of aspects of modern football that I don't really like, and I think the stronger fans are, and the more sort of organised and united they are, the better chance there is of them having a say in the future of the game.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's probably more relevant now for Stockport County than ever, even though we've always had a co-op, and I was on the board of that co-op when we were in darker times. Now, even though we've got a really good owner and money's flowing and we're looking successful, it's probably just as important, if not more, as I alluded to have a supporters cooperative, isn't it? And have that voice of the fans.
I think so, yeah. I think we'll touch on a couple of things today that I think really underline the importance of the co-op. But I think fans as a wider community having a voice is really important. I mean, you look at things like games being moved to 8:15 on a Saturday night to accommodate TV schedules, and it's awful for fans. I mean, I could come on the main podcast and fill about an hour of getting the res talking about my gripes with modern football.
Be careful what you wish for, because we might just take you up on that. Okay, so if we get into the document then, so just as a caveat, if you like, or a precursor to this, this document is available to everybody to download from the Supporters Cooperative website. If you Google if anybody Googles this, you can land on this document. And this document also was published by the co-op on various social media channels. So we are going to talk about some of the key elements of this, maybe get a bit of insight from Ed as to how the meeting went and any sort of words that wrap around it. But what we will say, and we've got to say, is the whatever we talk about is already in the public domain. So we're not going to talk about anything that was said confidentially between the two parties in the meeting. That's not something we're going Correct. To do. And just to confirm and reiterate, this was the meeting was about 5 weeks ago, and we're in early March now. That's correct, isn't it?
That's right, yeah.
Okay, excellent. So the topics we'll cover then. So we'll focus in on Edgeley Park development. I think that's a key one that the listeners will want to hear about. The ACV, obviously, we'll explain what that is and the lease and how that affects that. We'll talk about the finances. And then finally, we'll talk about what they said about the team. Although it has to be said, the playing side of the club were not at the meeting. It was the operational and business side.
Yeah, that's right. So it was Johnny Vaughan, who's the chief executive, Tom Mann, who's chief operations officer, Steve Ellis, president, and from the media side, Liam Richardson was there.
Excellent. Okay, so let's start then with topic number three on the document, which is development plans and the ground. So I don't know if you just give us a wrap around, you know, the ACV, the lease, the ground, and sort of start that discussion.
Yeah, I mean, these three things are all sort of combined, if you like. But I think everybody's been waiting for an update on the ground development, haven't they? And things do seem to be moving forward now. So they outline towards what they intend to do and on what sort of time scale. The headlines are new railway end will be phase 1A, if you like, at the club. We'll decide whether that's a 2,000 capacity stand or a 4,000 capacity stand. It will either be an extension. The 2,000 capacity option includes keeping some of the existing structure and extending it. And finally, roof. The 4,000 seater option will be a completely new structure. And then phase 1B is to replace the roof on the Bagara stand and potentially extend seating so it runs the full length of the pitch at each end, providing another 600 seats at each end, so 1,200 seats in total potentially along there. And then the pop side, that will or would be the showpiece stand at 5,500 seat capacity with some new hospitality facilities in there as well. What the club did say was it will be phased in line with demand. So it may be that the OEM gets redeveloped first, and then as we sort of slowly move up through the leagues and build the fan base incrementally, they deem it necessary to get on and do the pop side.
Yeah, so that and when we say in line with demand, that's it says, and I'll read it verbatim, the phasing was structured in line with projected demand for tickets. So essentially, as the fan base grows and we get more, let's call them sticky customers, is I think that's what we call it in the industry, people who are going to come back and keep on coming back, then that has to be sustainable, doesn't it? So I think what I'm reading there is they're not going to, you know, if we get into League One and we still got, you know, 10,500, if we get the odd 9,000, then they're probably not going to invest in extra, you know, in that extra development. But if we continue to get these sellouts, which we're doing now in League Two, so there's no reason why, if we do go up, when we go up, should we say, that we don't keep on doing that, then there's no reason to believe that investment will not happen.
Yeah, it's a bit chicken and egg for me, because I think if the facilities in the railway end were better and we end up with this, the proposal is fantastic sounding family zone behind the railway end, I think that in itself would be an attraction more people to come. I mean, I sat in the railway end on New Year's Day against Mansfield, and it's not quite the same experience as being in Cheeseland, if you like.
No. I think some of the a lot of the fans that go to the games now who maybe have been supporting, you know, a long time, we've all sat stood in the Cheadle end when it was before, you know, when it was just 12 steps. Same for the railway end. Yeah, it's not great. and you're open to the elements as well, aren't you? So, yeah. That, and that'd be really good, because that would move the family enclosure, the family stand area, once it from behind the pop side as it is now, to a dedicated area that a bit more correct, fit for purpose, because of all the good work behind the pop side for the Together stand, for the family area, it is really good, but it's all a bit makeshift. It's all added onto what is existing there, isn't it? Whereas if you've got something dedicated that's built for that purpose, that's going to bring loads more families to the games, I would say.
Absolutely, yeah.
So how does the asset of community value and the lease sort of stitch into this then?
So the asset of community value, that is it's legal status that I think first came into force in about 2011, 2013, around then. I think you were involved on the co-op when it first got ACV status. What it technically means, it's a bit of a buffer, a bit of a backstop, and means that the co-op has an interested party. We'll get a notification if there's any moves to sell the ground. Obviously, back in 2013, the was staring down the barrel a little bit. The ground was owned by Brian Kennedy, and I think he may well have been owed some money at the time on the ground. It was really important back then just to make sure that fans had that security. That was renewed by the co-op in 2018, and then went to renew it last year. The club asked us to hold off with the application because they wanted to understand whether it might be an issue with them accessing funding for the redevelopment. So we've been in discussion with them for a little while, and we went away and discussed it with the council. We discussed it with the Football Supporters Association. All the while, made it very clear to the club that any decision on that would go to our members. We've had some reassurances that it's not going to be an issue, and we'll continue with the application process for that. We've also said as the co-op that we think there's three really important conditions that need to be met for the security of Edgeley Park long term. One is the asset of community value status. The second is the owner of the club and the club itself having a long lease, so they're incentivised to invest in the ground. And thirdly, which brings me on to the issue with the lease, is that we feel it's best if the council remains the freeholder of the lease. People who attended our SGM last week or saw some comments about it on Twitter will have seen the lease discussed, and the Manchester Evening News have picked up on it since as well. I should say all the documents about the lease are on the council's website as well. The initial lease that was agreed in 2022, the 250-year lease, that was never actually signed. I think the council and the club got involved in some commercial discussions which dragged on longer than anyone could have anticipated, but it seems like we're on the brink of finally being signed. So that seems to be really good news.
So that formal signing of the document then would, in layman's terms, give the club a chargeable rent of around, is it £85,000 a year?
Yes, something around £85,000-£88,000 a year for under 2066, and then the rent reverts to a peppercorn rent.
Right. Okay. So that's significant, and that would mean then that the ground Edgeley Park stays with the council is a freehold, but Mark Stott and his businesses are free to invest and reap the rewards of that investment as well. So they'll be able to get that money back and work that as a business, as an ongoing concern.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's really positive. Another step in the right direction. It's funny, as a fan, as a long-term fan since the sort of mid to late 80s, and when we went into the dark days, I always asked for three things to get our club back, you know, when we're in League One. One was professional status, which we got that back pretty soon. Two was to get back into the Football League. We've done that now. And the third one was to secure the ground and get our ground back. And, you know, we've done that now, haven't we, with the news that you've just delivered. So, yeah, brilliant. I feel wholesome again.
Yeah.
That's an Atomic Kitten song, isn't it? Oh, that's something else.
Well, again, yeah. I think we've got a version of that, haven't we, about China?
So that is Edgeley Parks. That's really good. And you, there's mention of a consultation as well. When does that begin? Do we know?
Yeah. So we haven't got any dates finalised yet, but it looks like there could be a public consultation. There could be some public consultation sessions later this month, including one we're hoping directly before one of the home games, so that anyone who's coming along to watch. We'll have the opportunity to go along to that, and there'll be people from the club who are able to answer any questions they've got. It'll be open to the wider community of Stockport as well.
Excellent. Yeah, I guess everybody listening to this can look out on the social channels and in the media where that will be in the ground. Just quickly touch on the away end. You mentioned before about the railway end, putting a roof on it. I think the club, based on the comments, have said that's not cost effective or it's cost prohibitive, based in line with what you said.
Yeah, they I think they have explored the just putting a roof on the railway end as it is. But you're talking a couple of million quid, I think they said, just to do that, because they were talking about things which I don't understand as a layman, about wind shear and how it needs to be constructed. But I think all that would be a fairly expensive exercise that would result in no extra capacity. So it's a non-starter, really.
Yeah, no, that's understandable. And just to add a bit of meat to that, there is a nice video by Tifo, I think it is, that explain why modern day stands and stadiums cost more than there may be the old bricks and mortar ones, and it's
wraparound cantilever stands if you want to go and remove the pillars. I mean, obviously there's a few seats in the on the pop side and in the main stand which are sort of hindered by pillars at the moment, and you have to sort of get like that too. But for people at home, I'm just moving my head from side to side like I was sitting in the pop side. It's you'll also see in that document as well. We discussed with the club change from the original designs, which showed a sort of wraparound stands, but they've since found out that building seats around the corner flag effectively cost, I think Johnny Vaughan said, 3 to 4 times more than those seats which run along the side. So really would cause the cost to ramp up significantly if they pursued that.
Yeah, no, that's good to know. Yeah, and just going back to that video, it's a good one for people to watch. That also talks about that modern day stands and modern day infrastructure, like we're looking to do, needs to earn money away from match day, away from your 25, 30 days match day. And Tottenham do it really well, but the video explains that you've got to get all of that infrastructure right to future-proof it and to get it earning money when you're not on a match day. So it's well worth a watch, and I'm sure that County are thinking about that as well. Excellent stuff. Right. Shall we move on to finances?
Yep.
So I'll do a little interlude here. Okay, on to finances then. So I'm an avid listener of The Price of Football and hear a lot of stories on there about scrupulous owners and non-scrupulous owners, and some of the numbers are pretty much eye-watering, especially where we've come from in the National North. Okay, we were in the league before that, but still, I think it's pretty new to any Stockport County fan seeing the numbers that are on this document, or seeing the numbers banded about. So again, I'll let you explain, but it talks about the company showing a negative reserve of 10 million and owing 24 million, and there's a million for England.
Yeah. I mean, football finance, it's so complicated, and I'm slowly getting to grips with it. But yeah, we're really fortunate to have a guy among our membership who's a really experienced accountant who came and gave us a presentation just before Christmas last year about the club's ownership structure and some of the debt in Mark Stott's companies. I mean, what I should say is some elements of sort of corporate financing that are open to interpretation and financial semantics. But yeah, top and bottom is there's six clubs, if you like, involved in the ownership of the club, all the way down from Stockport County 2010, right the way up to Stock Capital, which is sort of directly adjacent to Mark Stott, if you like, and that includes the company which owns the old Labour Club behind the railway end as well. So yeah, the question 17, I think it is, on the in the minutes there, it refers to the company that has been used for the debt to equity swap, which is called New.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Away days with County are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at Edgeley Park. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Co, Stockport A, and in order to fund the debt to equity swap, which has taken place, I think it was £6 million last year, and that debt to equity swap will take place again this summer. In order to fund that, there's been borrowing from elsewhere in the Mark Stott group, and I think the chap who asked the question was just wanted some reassurances that it wasn't just money being moved around in group companies. But I mean, on the club's part, I mean, they've given their reassurance that, you know, this isn't the beginning and end of Mark Stott's business universe. You know, he's a well capitalised guy, and you know they say that it's not the case that he's just passing money from one hand to the other. So from our point of view, we'll continue to scrutinise the club's finances, and I think that's going to become more and more important when the club takes on debt to fund the redevelopment. They have said, and you'll see that in the minutes, that they'll be looking for external finance for that. So yeah, we'll continue to use the resources we've got to look into it. I mean, all of the companies I've discussed, they all have to report their accounts to Companies House on an annual basis, and they're available to the public. Just going back to the other elements of debt you mentioned, the club still has a loan outstanding to Sport England. That was the COVID loan that was taken out in they were taken out in 2020 just to make sure that clubs didn't go bump when all of a sudden we couldn't go and watch anymore.
Yeah, and they've said that they're going to leave that as a, because the interest is low on that, they're going to leave that and just pay that back as time goes on.
Yeah. And there's some debt as well that a company called EP Holdco has taken out to fund the purchase of the old Labour Club as well.
Yeah. No, it's reassuring. And I guess speaking as a fan, and you know, listening to podcasts and what have you, and knowing what I know, there are a lot of unscrupulous chairmen out there who do go about things the wrong way. But I think there's a high degree of confidence with Mark Stott that the way he conducts business, you know, his own personal wealth, you know, he's not going to put anything at risk in terms of Stockport County and us as a club, is he? Because he doesn't work that way. And having met him as well, he's so passionate about it. So I'm inclined to believe everything that comes, you know, from Mr. Scott.
He's certainly very successful guy. And as Johnny Vaughan says in the club's responses, you know, he's absolutely committed to going on this journey with County.
Yeah, absolutely. And then just thinking slightly about the future, and of course we will have these sessions every time the court does meet the club. Question number 18: what are the club's plans for financial stability? Oh, sorry, sustainability, considering the aim to reach to stay in the Championship.
So this is really interesting because I think obviously in the Premier League, you've got financial fair play. In the Championship, you've got a sort of hybrid model. And in Leagues 1 and 2, you're tied to a certain amount of... Ross, you're going to have... I've got the wrong... I've jumped ahead, haven't I, on that question?
Yes.
Yeah, just yeah, slightly, do you want to ask that again? I'll answer it properly.
No worries. Yeah, yeah. So just thinking about the future slightly and the aims of the club, there's a question 18 about the club's plans for financial sustainability in the Championship. Can you give us a bit on that?
Yeah, I think as the club goes up the leagues, obviously your costs get higher, but the potential to generate income grows as well. I mean, going back to the ground capacity, you know, you look at some of the clubs who are in League One and they're regularly taking 2,000-3,000 away fans to games. You know, teams like Derby, for example, Portsmouth have huge away followings. So there is potential to make more money when you're in League One, no doubt about that. The club also talked about potential for selling on players as well. Again, as you got the pyramid, their value is higher, and that links back into one of the matters we touched on in the meeting about the club wanting to find somewhere where it can have a higher category of academy as well, and attract better talent and players who ultimately will have that higher resale value.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess when you go up to League One and then into the Championship, the jump in the financials, it jumps massively, doesn't it? You're talking millions from compared to maybe League Two in the National League.
Yeah, and TV money as well. I mean, although despite what I said earlier about not always enjoying it when games get moved, it's a fact of life. That is a massive element of revenue for clubs in the Championship. And I think when the new Sky deal comes in as well, I'm not sure if that's next season or the season after. I think some more of that money starts to trickle down in League One and Two as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll hopefully be well positioned to maximise that as well from a club perspective. Just talking about finances. Again, just one final point: financial fair play. So this was I read this. I thought it was really interesting. Can the club explain financial fair play and where they see County fitting within the framework of financial fair play? I'll just say something, and then I'll let you speak. It was an interesting one for me because financial fair play is the Premier League's governance. The Championship sort of have a hybrid model, but for League One and League Two, it's called the Salary Cost Management Protocol, SCMP.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it means you can only spend 55% of your income as a club on salaries, which in League One and League Two, the definition of income is widened to include injections of equity by your owner. So, that's how we, and I would imagine most other clubs in League One and Two, get around that, because it's, I'd be very surprised if there's many or any clubs in either division who are able to sort of completely finance themselves without any injections of cash from owners.
Yeah, I think you've just got to look at some of the outputs from Companies House when they submit the returns for the year. I think that they're all losing money hand over fist. So just to confirm, the League Two limit is 55% of turnover. The League One is 60%. But as you say, I think as near as damn it, each club's probably got somebody injecting cash into that. Interesting stuff. Okay. I think that was it for that. I'll put a thing in the middle of this bit.
No problem.
Right. Okay. That was it for finances. We'll go on to the team. Okay, then finally onto the team questions. Again, just to reiterate, nobody from the playing side was there, but I still think there's some good points to pick up on with these two questions. So 25 and 26, start with 25. Can the club offer any insight with regard to potential signings, be they loans or permanent signings, please? This alluded to the amount of injuries and maybe reading between the lines, the January window we had. What was the club's response on that?
Yes, if you look at the time, I think we had this meeting 29th of January, and I think everybody at that point was maybe expecting that we might have done a bit more business. But I think it's just notoriously such a difficult time of year to get players in at the right at the right cost. The club said at the end of the day they're looking for value. And I think their challenge said in a couple of interviews around that time, you know, we'll only do things on our own terms. I think the club quite careful about not being held to ransom. Since then we've had a couple of players back, but we've lost South and Hale since then. Collar's come back and got injured again, and hopefully we don't pick up any more injuries. But I don't think it was the transfer window that any fans would have wanted to see. But at the end of the day, without the injuries, I don't think anyone would have batted an eyelid, because would have been without the injuries, would have been pretty much promoted by now. Is my
opinion. Yeah, and I guess on the footballing side, and we discussed the footballing side a lot on the Courtyard Club Call and the Wednesday show. You know, you can tell that the club is looking for value, so they're not rushing into signings and signing any old player, should we say? Not to sound disparaging, which we have done in the past. So you kind of can't plan for injuries. You can maybe for one or two. You know, you always have a backup position for somebody, and maybe one or two that float around as utility players, like Hippo does, I guess, for us.
Yeah.
But the sessions that John Kieran has with Simon Wilson, I think it certainly give me a load of confidence that everything's being done, you know, to maximise the benefit on the pitch.
I think the players who came in, Bristow's been a great asset. I think we started to see to see a bit more from Lewis Cass, haven't we? I think he possibly struggled in a couple of games. Got a decent start at Grimsby, and then as everybody did, struggled against Crewe and Tranmere. But hopefully he starts to build a bit more confidence now. And obviously we had Lemon A. Evans coming back as well, which really was like a new signing. And I'd love him to still be at the club next year, but I suppose we'll have to wait and see on that.
Yeah, time will tell. Time will tell. On to the final question then, 26. So there were requests for an update to the injury situation, which I thought Liam gives a good answer to that. So do you want to talk us through that?
Yeah, I think the only real update we got in the meeting was about Kyle Noel, unfortunately been out for the rest of the season. And as Liam points out, I think Dave Challoner is pretty good at addressing these, and we always get a pretty much preview when it's a weekend game on a Friday, and he always gets asked about it in the aftermath of the games. There are some clubs that do more. There's some clubs that put out an injury update a couple of times, two, three times a week. But I personally feel like we're kept fairly well in the loop on what goes on at the club.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And when you add that to the Simon Wilson interviews and the occasional Johnny Vaughan update as well, I think we probably get a good balanced view, really. And Dave Challoner, being the current manager, he always gives a really honest assessment, doesn't he? If we've lost 4-0 away at Tranmere, he's seething, isn't he? You know, so
yeah. I think what Liam pointed out as well is during his time at the club, when we've had Jim Gannon, Simon Rusk, and Challoner as manager, he says Challoner has been the most forthcoming in terms of actually putting information out through the club channels.
Yeah, that's good to know. That's good to know. Excellent stuff. Okay, so they were the topics I wanted to cover. Have a look, if you're listening, have a look at the document. There's loads more to go through there, but I felt that Edgeley Park development, the finances of the club, and the couple of questions about the team purely based on the injuries that we've got, I think that was an interesting to pick up on. As I say, there's loads more in there, so do give that a read. Ed, you wanted to mention about the new website and some board members or volunteers.
Yeah, so since I came on board, I've been working on updating the co-op's website, so it's going to look a bit different, be more loads of lovely photography on there, and be much easier to navigate. We've got a page dedicated to telling the story about how the co-op raised the money for the David Agara statue, with some really great pictures on there and a couple of videos about the process. That will be launched next week or two. We're all volunteers on the co-op, so you have to fit these things in around your day job. So it just depends when you get that finished off. Secondly, we're always on the lookout for anybody who wants to come and get involved with the board who has any professional skills or personal interests that they think might help us. I know last time Dave was on, he said anyone with any sort of financial accounting experience would be a really useful asset, and I'll repeat that. But get in touch, and feel free to come along to one of our board meetings and meet us. And the third thing to mention is some of the events that we're going to put on this year. So I know you last year you were at the National League North Winners Night event that we had. Which was brilliant. That was last October. Then in January this year, we had Osher Williams and Tommy Sword at Stockport Gin again. Really good night. Jim Gannon's agreed to come and do an evening with us, and we're hoping it's going to be an opportunity for him to say farewell to the fans, really, because he never got that opportunity, because obviously, because of the way he departed the club. we haven't got a date for that yet, but we're hoping it will be sometime during the close season. Priority for those tickets will be given to co-op members. So if you want to come along to that, do sign up for co-op. You'll also get a discount on your ticket price as well. Just a reminder, the co-op only £12 a year, so it's less than £1 a month, and you actually get a free mug at the moment when you join. A co-op mug with a county logo on the other side of it, the classic 80s logo with the red football on it. So with your £5 mug plus your discount on the Jim Gannon evening tickets, you've made your money back, really. So
yeah,
you can sign up on the website. You can come and see us before any home game.
Excellent stuff. Yeah, I think it's been £12 a year for the past 20 years or something. It's like it never inflates. It's really good. But yeah, definitely go to the website. I'll post some links along with this episode as well, so people can look at that. Good stuff. Right, Ed, thank you so much for joining me. Really appreciate it. What we'll do, just to recap, we will have regular sessions with the co-op. Dave will come onto the podcast, who's the chair. I'm sure we'll get Ed on as well, just to talk about the football, basically. But every now and again, when the co-op does have meetings with the club, we'll have a special episode just like this to sort of recap some of the main bullet points. And some of the interesting points that are on there. So we're looking forward to that. Good stuff. Right, Ed, see you in the courtyard sometime soon.
Brilliant. Thanks for having me on. Cheers, Russ.
Cheers. The 90th minute, all your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants. 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.